You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome, everybody, and happy Friday Eve. Tons of news happening today, as per usual, and we're going to break it all down for you. On this program, we've got a great set of guests lined up. Big reports dropping today. The Wisconsin Policy Forum, as well as the Congressional Budget Office, and I like to call the WPF, Wisconsin CBO, both coming out with updated analyses of the impact of the big, brutal bill. Of course, the Wisconsin Policy Forum zeroing in on impacts here in Wisconsin, and the CBO's numbers also got a lift and an analysis from the Center for American Progress, again, with specific impacts in Wisconsin. So guess who we got for you lined up this afternoon? We got the Wisconsin Policy Forum, and we got the Center for American Progress Action Fund. So we're going to be able to, again, put a lot of meat on the bone as to what the big, brutal bill is going to be doing to working families here in Wisconsin. That's going to be our first hour after I bring you some breaking news. Then in the 5 o'clock hour, we want to open it up. We want to hear from all of you about what you think about the No Kings rallies that are coming up this Saturday. We're going to open up the phone lines. We're going to engage in some discussion. Today, there was an amicus brief filed in the lawsuit filed by the state of California challenging the president's deployment of both Marines and National Guard's troops without request of the governor to California. That amicus brief was signed by former U.S. Army and Navy secretaries and retired four-star admirals and generals spanning multiple presidential administrations, both Republicans and Democrats. And they have some words on this situation. So we're going to talk about all of that in the 5 o'clock hour. I know you all have been burning to share some of your thoughts. We're going to give you plenty of time to do that. Of course, it is also Civic Media's Scani Summer Text to Win contest. And we are winding it up. We are in the second to last day. And if you have been playing along with us each day on this fine program, in the 4 o'clock hour, I drop a word of the day. And if you text that word of the day in via the Civic Media app, you'll either be entered to win this hour $100 or Brewers tickets. And that text message will enter you to win one of our grand prizes, a getaway to Wisconsin Dells or Door County, including gas money, so that Civic Media can help you start off your summer well. Let's get that little bit of fun out of the way, because then we need to turn to the breaking news of the day. The word of this hour in the Scani Summer Text to Win contest is, boy, I wish it would warm up in this month of June. Your word is June. J-U-E-N. J-U-E-N. Text that in right now via the Civic Media app and go ahead and be entered to win some fun stuff. So again, we can hook you up and start your summer off well. The word is June. J-U-E-N. Yeah, what am I saying? J-U-E-N. I'm speaking and spelling in foreign languages that may or may not exist. Thank God I have a producer that knows when I'm not spelling correctly. It's June, like the month. Too much news. Too small brain. That's what's going on. June, you all know how to spell it. J-U-N-E. Good Lord. Okay. With that bit of business under our belts, let us turn to the breaking news of the day. Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, Kristi Noem, was giving a press conference. Now, if you haven't seen some of these recently, basically it's the secretary getting up there and throwing mugshots and talking about criminal records up on a screen, which, again, as a statistician and an economist, I don't think that's very helpful. Don't show me one off. Show me, like, what, how many people have you deported and how many of them are violent criminals? Just give me a number, because she wants to put up pictures of people who are not here legally who have committed crimes. Great. Let's just throw up a bunch of mugshots and pictures of citizens that have done terrible things. I mean, stupid. But to get back to it, She's giving a press conference, and a senator from the great state of California was at an open press conference. And when you're giving a press conference as a government official, you know, it's an open press conference. Anyways, the senator was there, wanted to ask the secretary a few questions, and it did not go well. We have the audio. Let's just take the audio and take a listen. The video, if you haven't seen it yet, more shocking, but the audio paints quite a picture. Take a listen, folks.
Sir, hands up. I'm Senator Alex Padilla. I have a question for the secretary. Because the fact of the matter is, a half a dozen violent criminals that you're rotating on your...
On your back.
Hands behind your back. If you let my hands go, I'll turn behind my back.
All right. Cool. Other hand. Lay flat.
Other hand, sir. Other hand.
There's no recording loud out here. I did not know. There's no recording allowed out here for FBI regs.
There's no recording allowed out here in a hallway outside of a... What you heard there was a senator, a sitting U.S. senator with questions for the Secretary of Homeland Security, getting forcibly removed by my count when I watched the video, 3-4 officers forcibly taken to the ground and handcuffed. He was then detained. Breaking news within the last hour or so is that he has been released. He is no longer detained. His office issuing a statement. Senator Padilla is currently in Los Angeles exercising his duty to perform congressional oversight of the federal government's operations in LA and across California. He was in the federal building, in a public building, to receive a briefing with General Guyot and was listening to Secretary Noem's press conference. He tried to ask the secretary a question and was forcibly removed by federal agents, forced to the ground and handcuffed. He is not currently detained and we are working to get additional information. The Congressional Hispanic Caucus also responding to the afternoon's events, saying this is unacceptable. Full stop. Senator Padilla attended an open press conference to engage in debate, to represent his state, and to do his job. We demand a full investigation and consequences for every official involved in this assault against a sitting U.S. senator. Senators and congresspeople, their primary jobs are allocating money, in other words, a budget, and we'll talk about that's where we're going with the Wisconsin Policy Forum and the Center for American Progress Action Fund. The other one is oversight. He was engaging in his official duties of oversight. And whether or not you think he should be asking a question, shouting out a question in a press conference, there were a million other ways to handle that other than basically assaulting a sitting senator, handcuffing him, and hauling him off. So that is the breaking news today. I have to tell you, watching the video nearly brought me to tears. This is political intimidation, and it is everywhere. Congress people, senators, judges, labor activists, and regular people exercising their First Amendment right. That is political intimidation. Also, breaking news relevant to the temporary detention of Senator Padilla, 6 GOP congressmen, so 6 Republican congressmen, have sent a letter requesting data on how many deportations under Trump 2.0 actually involved criminals. Their letter sent today requesting this data, quote, "We are also concerned that your limited resources may be stretched to pursue individuals that do not constitute an immediate threat to public safety." I don't know, like a senator, like a congresswoman, like a judge, like people working in the fields, maybe painting your house, maybe taking care of your kids, you know, hardworking folks. Unbelievable. Anyways, that is the breaking news. Had to bring that to you as we kick off this afternoon. And I'm going to tell my next guest, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for your patience with our breaking news this afternoon. Let me bring on Mark Sommerhauser, Wisconsin Policy Forum Communications Director and Policy Researcher. Mark, what is the major headline from the Policy Forum's analysis of the Big Brutal Bill? What can Wisconsinites expect if this, in fact, becomes law?
Yeah. Hey, Maggie, thanks for having me on. So, it's a little difficult to boil it down to one little soundbite, but I'll do the best I can. Our report actually looked at the Big Beautiful Bill. It also looked at some of the funding cuts that the Trump administration has sought to impose unilaterally. So these are some of the things that folks may have seen, such as the cuts to staffing of veterans hospitals, some of the funding cuts that affect research institutions, including UW-Madison. So we kind of looked across this spectrum of funding cuts that have already been enacted, some of those that are being discussed in Congress. Our state is a little bit unique in that we actually receive less federal funding total than most other states. We rank 41st among the 50 states for the amount of per capita federal funding that we get. But that being said, federal funding still has an enormous impact in the state of Wisconsin and in Wisconsin's economy. Seniors, veterans, students, disabled and low-income individuals in particular rely on federal dollars enormously. And our report does a few things. It tries to look at just kind of the overall scope of those federal dollars. Where do they go in Wisconsin? And then, as you referenced, what would some of these, you know, funding cuts mean? It's a little difficult, too, with the legislation, because we've had a bill that's passed the House, the Big Beautiful Bill. It looks like it's going to probably see some significant changes to pass through the U.S. Senate. So it's kind of a moving target for our analysis, but we did the best we could kind of based on the information that we have right now.
Understood. One of the elements that I wanted to lift up from your report is that while Wisconsin on a relative basis receives slightly less than other states, again, on a relative basis, the reach of federal government funds in Wisconsin is way bigger than I think most people could even fathom. A conservative estimate around $86.46 billion. So I'm going to just call that round up a little, $87 billion in federal dollars coming into the state for an average of nearly $15,000 per person. We're going to continue to dig into the Wisconsin Policy Forum's analysis of the Big Brutal Bill. We're not calling it the Beautiful Bill. It's a Brutal Bill with Mark Sommerhauser, Sommerhauser of the Wisconsin Policy Forum, their communications director. I'll learn how to speak English here in the break. We'll be right back, everybody. Keep it locked. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back, everybody. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. A bit more breaking news in the Senator Padilla saga. A spokesperson for DHS says this. Senator Padilla chose disrespectful political theater. Okay, I'm sorry. Disrespectful political theater? This coming from the MAGA regime? For real, though? For real. And interrupted a live press conference without identifying himself. I don't know. I thought we all just listened to the audio pretty clearly. It's like, I'm Senator Padilla. He was identifying himself. Mr. Padilla was repeatedly told to back away and did not comply with officers' repeated commands. Secret Service thought he was an attacker. Okay. They just make stuff up, don't they? Fascinating. Apparently, there is also an emergency hearing occurring that has been convened by the judge overseeing the California challenge to Donald Trump's, I'll say it, illegal deployment of National Guard and Marines to California without the consent nor request of the governor, the mayor of L.A., the police chief, or basically anybody, just sending them. Judge Breyer is currently making preliminary remarks, appears deeply skeptical that the court cannot consider whether or not, in fact, there was a rebellion. That is the provision under which Donald Trump attempted to send National Guard's men and women to California. It is 10 U.S.C. section 12406. We'll bring you more on this. Here's what the judge had to say. Again, this is breaking news this hour. Quote, "That's the difference between a constitutional government and King George. It's not that a leader can simply say something and it becomes it." In other words, you can't just make stuff up. Hey. Okay, with that, again, busy news day. Very pleased to bring back Mark Sommerhauser, the comms director and policy researcher and a policy researcher at the Wisconsin Policy Forum. We're talking about the report that the forum just published today. You can find that report at wispolicyforum.org. That's wispolicyforum.org. That report analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill here in Wisconsin. Mark, we were talking just before the break about the per capita dollar figures of federal money that's coming into the state, just south of $15,000. Now, of course, there's great variation from person to person. Some retirees in the state of Wisconsin receiving well over $100,000, basically, in federal dollars through various programs and supports. I wanted to focus on the specific programs that really pull in the largest dollar figures from the federal government into the state. Can you help us understand, we're talking about Badger Care, i.e. Medicaid, Social Security. Can you break that down for us, Mark?
Yeah. So, by the way, I mean, these numbers were kind of astounding to me, too.
Yes.
And I do this for a living. So, I knew it was a big number, but when we actually tallied it up, it was pretty remarkable. That, for instance, I mean, just to give some perspective, that number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, that's equal to about a quarter of all the combined personal incomes of every Wisconsinite. So we're just talking about about a quarter of the state's economy here. So, and I think it is helpful for folks to kind of go through this and understand what federal programs those dollars are flowing through. Like you said, so that by far the biggest stream of funding is Social Security. So there are more than 1.3 million beneficiaries of Social Security in the state of Wisconsin. And in 2023, annualized, they received about a little over $29 billion in Social Security benefits. And, of course, these are folks that have paid payroll taxes throughout their careers, and that's how they're eligible for those Social Security benefits, but still just a huge sum of money. Next biggest chunk was Medicare. Again, there's about a similar number, close to 1.3 million folks that are on Medicare in the state of Wisconsin, and the Center for Medicaid Services, Medicare and Medicaid Services, estimated about $13 billion was spent to provide health care for Wisconsin Medicare enrollees in 2020, which was the most recent year for which we had data. So those, you add up those two numbers right there, and that's almost half of the total $86 billion that you mentioned at the outset of federal outlays are just in those two huge programs alone.
Yeah, it is. It's just stunning. Again, we're here with the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum. He also does some of the research there. His name is Mark Sommerhauser. Mark pointing out that basically a quarter of the state's economy, of the money moving around the Wisconsin economy, coming from the federal government. So if you are sitting at home thinking, I got a good chunk in the bank, I'm good, this is not going to affect me, I don't care about the peons, the little people, I've never been hungry, what do I care if people in Wisconsin starve or lose their health insurance? Doesn't matter to me. I'm all for the big brutal bill. Guess what? You start jimmying with that level of Wisconsin, that amount of money in Wisconsin's economy, that is not going to help spur growth and job growth and wage growth. It's not going to help pay for childcare. Mark, just at a really high level, can you speak to that? Like, one of the things that I find challenging is I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state. Are we Are we asking for trouble if we don't start planning?
Well, there definitely would be some impacts to the state budget if that this House bill or something similar to it were passed. I think some of the cuts to funding for Medicaid would be one of the biggest areas that would affect the state budget, because that's the single biggest chunk of federal funding that goes into our state's budget is for Medicare, Medicaid, excuse me.
And again, folks, Badger Care, Family Care, Badger Care Plus, that's all Medicaid. Mark, thank you so much. We'll dig in more. Really appreciate you. Keep doing the great work at the Wisconsin Policy Forum. We got the Center for American Progress Action Fund up next. Again, breaking down the impacts of the big, brutal bill here in Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back, everybody. We're going to be taking it to the streets this Saturday. By my last count, probably in the ballpark of 60 different No Kings protests happening in the state of Wisconsin, across the nation. Somewhere in the ballpark, I was on a call with the folks helping to organize the No Kings rallies this weekend. Upwards of 2,000 events nationwide. To put this in perspective, the Hands Off rally back in April, that was just around 1,600, 1,500. So we are surpassing that in leaps and bounds. We're going to talk about the No Kings rallies. What do you think? Good thing? Bad thing? Are you afraid to go? We're going to kick off that conversation at the top of the 5 o'clock hour, along with apparently some more breaking news, a screaming match breaking out in Congress this afternoon. Pretty intense things happening. But right now, we need to not be distracted by Donald Trump's antics. We need to keep focus on what is going on with the big, brutal bill. It will decimate middle-class folks here in the state of Wisconsin. And our friends at the Center for American Progress Action Fund did additional analysis on the updated CBO numbers. We are going to post the link to the Center for American Progress Action Fund's analysis in our show notes today, because they have drop downs. You can play around with it. You can focus on Wisconsin and see how it exactly, according to the CBO, is going to basically hit tens of thousands of Wisconsinites where it hurts. And you can then call up your congresspeople and tell them, you shouldn't be supporting this, and I'm really angry that you did. I'm so pleased to be joined by the director of the Center for American Progress Action Fund's Health Policy Division. Her name is Natasha Murphy. Welcome, Natasha. Thank you for taking time.
Thank you so much for having me, Maggie. You know, we are really at a critical moment in time. You know, it's so important that we get the word out and have folks fully understand just what is under Senate consideration as it relates to the Medicaid program.
Absolutely. It is a program that I've said over and over on the air, if you hear my voice, I promise you someone you love in your life is receiving some sort of Medicaid benefit. And just so that people keep this in mind, we say the word Medicaid, but every state, their programs have different labels. And I think it's really important to tell people what the heck those programs are called here in the state of Wisconsin. In the state of Wisconsin, there's over 20 different programs that are Medicaid programs. They include Forward Health, Family Care, Badger Care, and Badger Care Plus. If you're on any of those, you're receiving Medicaid benefits. So Natasha, let's get right to it. How many Wisconsinites are at risk of losing their health care?
Yes, based on what the House of Representatives, the Republicans in the House, passed recently, more than 96,000 Wisconsinites are at risk of losing this ever-important Medicaid coverage. And so the Center for American Progress Action Fund has spent the past few months really trying to sound the alarm for both the public as well as reiterating for our federal policymakers the importance of the Medicaid program. It really is the cornerstone of health access for millions of Americans, but particularly its low-income families, children, people with disabilities, as well as our seniors. A lot of folks don't realize that, you know, nursing home care and long-term care services for so many are actually paid for by the Medicaid program.
And let's talk about the hospital challenge and the nursing home or the elder care challenge. We already have hospital deserts in rural Wisconsin. We already have a shortage of nursing homes to take care of our grandparents. How bad is this going to make it for folks in rural areas and those that rely on Medicaid to pay for their nursing home coverage?
Yes, absolutely. So I know, like you mentioned, in Wisconsin, you know, nearly 30% of Medicaid enrollees live in rural areas. And these types of cuts that are being proposed and, you know, currently under consideration in the Senate really, are a huge threat to rural health in Wisconsin and nationwide. And so again, it's not just about the impact on the individuals who would lose coverage, there would be ripple effects across the healthcare system. So Medicaid is a financial lifeline for rural hospitals. So many of them operate on such thin margins,
yeah.
And it's, you know, Medicaid reimbursement that is helping to keep the doors of rural hospitals and clinics and community health centers open so that they can serve their communities. But nearly one-third of rural hospitals are already financially vulnerable, and these types of cuts represent a recipe for disaster. You know, we could see additional rural hospitals close, or they could scale back services like maternity care, and that would leave entire communities without access to, you know, the critical health services that they need. So I definitely want to reiterate that, you know, these Medicaid cuts are a direct threat to access to healthcare in rural America. And it wouldn't just impact, you know, people on Medicaid. If a hospital closes,
right,
you know, for individuals and families, that means that you have no local care at all. You're going to have to drive longer to see a physician. You're going to have longer wait times because there's going to be fewer facilities that are open. And recently, the Shep Center at UNC identified three rural hospitals in Wisconsin. So it's Holy Family Memorial, MCHS Oak Ridge, and Aspirus Stanley Hospital that are already at risk of closure or service reductions. And, you know, these Republican-pushed Medicaid cuts could push these facilities over the edge.
Can you give me the names of those hospitals again,
yes,
Natasha, please?
Absolutely. So Holy Family Memorial, MCHS Oak Ridge, and Aspirus Stanley Hospital. Those are the three that have been identified at, you know, as the most at risk of closure or reducing the services that they're offering if these Medicaid cuts were enacted.
One of the things that I really appreciate, and folks, if you're just joining us, we are very happy to have with us this afternoon Natasha Murphy. She's the Director of Health Policy at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. They just released today a new analysis of the updated CBO numbers. That's the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office, the CBO's analysis of the big, brutal bill as adopted by the House. One of the things that your analysis does, Natasha, is it provides people the ability to actually narrow the lens right down to their individual congressional district. And here is where it gets interesting. Because in the state of Wisconsin, we have 8 congresspeople, 2 of whom are Democrats. And so, of course, Natasha, I did a little math. Let's start with the totals. So the estimated coverage losses for Medicaid, and again, here in the state of Wisconsin, Medicaid includes Badger Care and Family Care and all of it, and Forward Health, Badger Care Plus, 96,000 people. Natasha, yeah. I did the math. Is it okay if I say how many of those 96,000 people losing health care, life-saving health care because of the MAGA regime and the big, brutal bill, how many of those people are in Republican districts?
Yes.
Is that okay? I did the back of the envelope math.
Absolutely.
67,000. So
yes.
Over this gets right to your point about rural hospitals and rural healthcare being at risk. Over 2/3 of the folks that are going to lose healthcare in this state are in Republican districts. That's just shocking to me. Voting against your constituents' best interest, voting against making sure that your constituents have the health care that they need to live. Truly
exactly.
Shocking. Truly shocking.
It truly is. And it just reiterates the fact that, you know, what's being pushed by House Republicans and, again, under consideration in the Senate, it's not about improving health care. And despite the narrative that's tried to be pushed around addressing fraud, waste, and abuse, the reality is Republicans are cutting Medicaid to pay for massive tax breaks for the wealthy and large corporations. You know, these cuts reflect a political calculus and a commitment to this warped ideology over individuals and Americans' health and economic safety. And it's really, it's not just bad policy. It's truly dangerous.
Truly, truly dangerous. And here's the thing. We were talking with one of our other favorite guests from an organization, a local organization here in the state called Kids Forward. And he pointed out, he put together the crumbs for us, Natasha, and I wanted to get your reaction to this. He said, demand for health care, it can go up or down, but we all need health care. As you age, you need more of it. When you're pregnant, you need more of it. When you're younger, you maybe need a little bit less of it, but we all need health care. And each person that is currently receiving Medicaid benefits, all 67,000 of them in Republican congressional districts in the state, 96,000 statewide, every single one of those people are still going to need health care. And they will get it. They might get it too late. They might die on their way to a hospital. But most people, what they'll end up doing is showing up in emergency rooms because they haven't been able to access the preventative care, the continuing care, the intervention care that they would have been able to access had Republicans not ripped healthcare away from them. And what that means is that we will still be providing some level of health care for people. It will just be worse. It will be more expensive health care. And according to our colleague at Kids Forward, in fact, not only are you going to have 96,000 Wisconsinites lose health care, it's going to actually end up costing Wisconsin nearly $300 million more per year in taxpayer dollars to provide less health care to these 96,000 people who will lose it and to have worse outcomes.
Precisely, yes. That's the most frustrating element. It's just like you said, people's health care needs don't go away when they lose their coverage. You know, they become uninsured, and so they skip care. They get sicker. Like you mentioned, they even end up at the ER for conditions that could have been managed earlier or could have been prevented or could have just been treated in a way that, you know, would both improve their quality of life but also be significantly more cost effective. And so this policy is truly short-sighted.
It's stunning to me. Just to round out some of this amazing analysis that's available from the Center for American Progress Action Fund, we'll put the link to their interactive report. They also broke down the number of Wisconsinites that will likely lose emergency food assistance. That's 144,000 Wisconsinites, and 97,000 of them are in Republican congressional districts. That's nearly 68% of them. And we're going to lose about 2,700 jobs in the state of Wisconsin, and about 2,500 of those are going to be in GOP districts because of the big, brutal bill. Worse outcomes for more money and cruelty makes no damn sense. Natasha Murphy, thank you so much for being here, my friend.
Thank you, Maggie.
Such a pleasure. Again, folks, that's Natasha Murphy, the Director of Health Policy at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. Find their newest report at civicmedia.us/shows. Maggie Dawn Show. It'll be in our show notes. You can also find those show notes and our program podcasted on Apple Pods and Spotify and wherever you like to listen to your favorite podcasts. When we come back, we'll be joined by Jeremy Janine of Urban Milwaukee. You know about those red light cameras? What do you think? Good idea? Bad idea? We discuss next.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Yeah, Dems the Bodines. Of course it is, because it is time for Milwaukee's Microcosm here on the Maggie Dawn Show with our good friend, founder, writer, journalist extraordinaire, Jeremy Janine. Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show, Jeremy.
Thanks for having me.
Before we get into red light cameras, which I have to say I personally hate, but I understand how they may be useful. I want to give everybody an opportunity one last time before we run out the hour to text in the word to win this hour for Civic Media's Scotty Summer statewide giveaway. If you text in the word to win this hour via the app, can't do it the old-fashioned way, but via the app, which you can get for free wherever you get your apps, you will be qualified to win this hour either $100 or Brewers tickets, and you'll be entered to win one of our grand prizes. Two summer getaways, including gas money. Don't miss out. Just go get that app, download it, and have a little fun on Civic this summer. The word to win this hour is June, J-U-N-E. That is June, J-U-N-E. So folks, get your text in before we hit 5 o'clock, and again, you will be entered to win. Full contesting rules available at civicmedia.us. Okay, now my work is done and we can have some fun, Jeremy. Or perhaps be thinking about more speeding tickets, more rolling red lights, those sorts of things. So what Milwaukee is proposing to help address the reckless driving problem is to install red light cameras. For folks that haven't had the displeasure of getting busted by one of these things, can you explain what they are?
Sure. Milwaukee is prevented by state law right now. So the fifth time might be the charm.
The charm.
Because this law has been circulating for several years now, trying to get authority to do this. Police unions oppose it. But the city wants it as a tool to augment what the police are actually doing on the ground, which is to ticket speeders using cameras in designated published locations, ticket speeders doing more than 15 miles per hour over the speed limit, and in similar locations, ticket people running red lights. And as you hit on before, some people don't really like red light cameras a whole lot for completely different reasons.
I got popped by one in like Grays Lake, Illinois. And for about 3 days, considered making basically like a constitutional argument that you can't have a computer bust me, that you need a person to do it. Some due process things, confronting your accusers, yada, yada, yada. I didn't do that. I just paid the ticket. But there is some controversy surrounding these from civil rights advocates and privacy advocates. I get that. What's the union's objection? If this is going to slow people down, get people to obey street signs because they know Big Brother's watching, what's the problem?
It's the standard union objection, but not one you often hear from the police union. It's simply a matter of jobs. They don't want competition out there.
Well, considering where municipal budgets are right now in the state, that one lands with a decided thunk, in my opinion. Now, this isn't the only measure that the city is considering. They're also looking at trying to expand towing. Now, does that require an additional change to state law, Jeremy?
It does, and this is where we get to Milwaukee as a microcosm. So the camera thing I'd rate as unlikely to pass. This towing change is very likely to pass, and it's not restricted just to Milwaukee. Municipalities across the state could take advantage of this. And what it is, if you get cited for reckless driving, which is an offense defined in state statute, you could be towed immediately. Mm. Currently, you can't be cited. If you get pulled over for reckless driving, you can just go about your day. The big change in Milwaukee, it would apply to 1,800 instances of reckless driving since 2022. You'd be able to be towed immediately. The state's kind of done little dial turns in recent years. In 2022, if you were pulled over for reckless driving and were unregistered, you could be towed. That got about 600 of those, about a third of the citations. Then they made a really nuanced change. If your car was registered but you had unpaid fines, you could be towed. That got 11 people. So that change made almost no difference. Now the big kahuna is pending in the state Senate, allow anyone cited for reckless driving to be towed.
It's interesting to me, and one of the great data gaps in all of government is specific data about traffic stops and race and police interactions and all of that. And it's always outstanding to me. We don't require state courts to record or monitor or track sentencing and demographic data. You know, anytime we expand punitive measures, I was like, well, hey, what do we got in the data that shows maybe this could be somewhat inequitably applied to people? And the answer is we don't really have good data on that because there's no law that requires it. Certainly, I understand, and I think every Milwaukeean that's had someone zip past them at like 70 miles an hour in the parking lane or nearly clip them in an intersection could likely find their way to a reasonable argument in support of this. The mayor's backing both of these initiatives. What has the community response been? Do you think there's a general support for either or both of these initiatives?
The red light camera one seems a real toss-up. There's some data that indicates there might be a slight majority support for it. Lots of questions around that. But the towing bill, that went through some real consternation from like State Senator LaTanya Johnson, but she and others turned around and voted for it and are now not objecting to it at all.
Fascinating. We will keep our eye on that. Jeremy, always great to have you. I look forward to our next discussion of Milwaukee as a microcosm for the state. Perhaps immediate towing coming to a community near you soon. Thanks so much, Jeremy. Folks, you're going to want to keep it locked here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Up next, what do you think about the No Kings protests this weekend? Are you going? Are they good? Are they bad? Are you scared? Are you going to bring a lawyer's number in your pocket with you? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Back with more after the top of the hour.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.